Record there from Supreme's little thing called Darling, you keep me hanging on. It's disgusting though, you keep me hanging on.
Chiselhurst Caves are down and out.
Oh, yeah.
Deep down and way out, the Friday night rave in the Chiselhurst Caves, where top groups play live, Caroline DJs move it on, and everything swings. Just 3 minutes from Chiselhurst Station or direct by bus from Bromley. Plenty of parking space and a cafe. Every Friday night from 7:30, the Chiselhurst Cave.
Hey, baby, if you're all alone, maybe you'll let me walk you home.
We're entering into where they used to have all the bands and the music going.
It was really, really loud. And a lot of activity and very, very hot. Because it's, you know, you're actually crowded with people. Although it's cool in here now, I remember it being, and of course, people jumping around the place and generally enjoying themselves.
And we had these gigs lined up, and they would often be at different venues all the way around, and Chiselhurst Caves would be amongst them.
It is a very unusual venue because, as you can probably work out, it is actually genuine caves that you're playing in.
I mean, all I remember was the music, you know, and being the place where it's supposed to be at, because this was the place to be at that time.
It was great. It created the atmosphere for them in the first place, just by being there.
Yeah, yeah, all of this would have been absolutely packed out. In every tunnel would be packed out of people, usually doing things that they shouldn't be doing.
It was one of the early venues, before anybody else was doing it. It was there.
And I remember seeing somebody that I really liked around the corner, that was a soul band, and then a friend of mine coming around and saying, there's a bloke around here, you must go and see him. A bloke called Jimi Hendrix. I said, who the hell was he? Didn't know who he was. Came round and saw him doing his bit with his groupies at the front, lots and lots of screaming women at the front, and he was doing playing with his teeth and playing behind his back as well. I remember that quite well.
Yes, as I said before, it's really groovy. I'd have to bore you for about 6 or 7 minutes to do a little thing. Yeah. Excuse me for a minute, just let me play my guitar, all right?
It was, and that was a very, very, you couldn't get near the place.
Really, the memory is that we did the gig there.
My brother-in-law, Dave, actually played there the night that Hendrix played.
We were interested to see what the Hendrix thing was all about. There were obviously people who followed him around, masses of people that crammed in to see him because he was a new craze, something different, something raw, probably a kind of band that no one had ever seen before, coming from somewhere that a lot of people couldn't imagine. And so who was this guy creating this music?
Yeah, you had people like the Pretty Things, you had like Hendrix down there, Floyd apparently played down there.
And then, of course, all local rock bands. You say Frampton, and I'm sure Dave Bowie played the Caves at one time, and lots of other bands. Standing in front of the stage that was used for most of the concerts.
I'm pretty sure there was the main stage area to the sort of left as you go in, and then there were others further down, and we were quite deep in the caves in one of those areas.
A very simple stage. It's got wooden sleepers, well, they look like sleepers, in as a surround, and then it's just hardcore pushed in with a quite a thin cement top, just smoothed over like a big cake, really, and then a brick wall at the back. You can't imagine today rock bands being on a stage that size, of course.
Seeing the stage like that from this direction, I remember now seeing it. But the dust and everything, and people would be up against the walls, moving out the way so you could actually find your way through. There was obviously lighting, but it was all just coloured lighting. There was no proper lighting, so you couldn't really see very much.
Because of the nature of the caves, it lent itself to being a venue where you could put two or three support bands on, because it was a lot of linked caves, each band could have its own cave.
Yeah, that's right.
Couldn't you?
Actually, yeah, I remember it. It was a big breeding ground and training ground for a lot of musicians.
That's right.
A lot of local musicians as well. And there's been a few, I mean, people like you, Peter Frampton's and those guys. And
the Herd, yeah, they all played down. The Herd played there.
Yeah, they played there quite a lot. Yeah. And before he went off into Humble Pie and, you know.
But this place used to have all the up-and-coming sort of newish sort of groups. So, you know, people that we hadn't heard of, but there were what I call college groups or university groups. All the groups that were playing in those sort of venues would come here.
There were some phenomenal nights down there, apparently. I mean, I played down there myself once. Remember, it was so damp, our PA first, you packed up, yeah, it was so damp
very,
down there.
Very damp. Very hollow sound in there as well, sound not very good. I played down there on at least three occasions, but terrible sound, but the place was always jam-packed. Great atmosphere.
Yeah, fabulous atmosphere. Yeah. Absolutely fabulous. I mean, I always remember that when we came out, the equipment was covered in chalk.
No, it was very hot. There was no ventilation, or hardly any, so it got quite steamy in here. The floor, it was dust, thick dust. It was much worse than it is here now. And we used to be kicking that around.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Used to drop down from
everything
the ceiling.
Was, including you as well.
Yeah, chilled all over as well. Yeah. So
the other thing I remember is that apart from the dust, is that every 5 minutes the flipping juice would trip out, and all the reverb effects and everything would all die off slowly, and then back up again. That was happening quite frequently.
And I do remember vividly having the power cut off while we still had all the gear there. And you can't remember whether you can't tell whether your eyes are open or closed.
You're going into the club room, so there were two bars in the club room then, and there still is two bar rooms in there.
Just in this small area, you wouldn't be able to move. You have to fight your way around. Oh, hundreds and hundreds. And they'd all be spaced out as well, all of them. Absolutely high as a kite. And we used to drink, it was just Coca-Cola. There was no, I don't think there was drink down here, alcohol.
And you could put bands at the end. So I suppose you could have two bands going at once in this area.
It was quite a walk, I can't remember now, but I remember being at one end, and then somebody coming around and saying there's something on. There was normally about two bands playing, and you could traverse between the two. And they wouldn't interfere with each other either, because the music down that end would stay down that end, and vice versa down here. So it was quite good to have a multiplex, isn't it, really? And it used to finish at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and all the neighbours used to whinge, because we were all then walking, because you had to walk home in those days. I used to walk home to Orpington from here, which has got to be, what, 6-7 miles, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, freezing cold.
there was a lot of
trouble down there. I don't think it was a noise problem, because the caves killed that. I think it was just sheer quantities of people sort of marauding around late at night, and local residents complained a lot.
Thinking about the venues that were around the Bromley, Chislehurst area, that was unique in those terms, where every other venue was either a hall or it was part of a pub, restaurant, a school. They weren't dedicated in the same way.
Local venue-wise, it was probably had quite a long consistency about it through that, I'd say, 10-year or so period, sort of like late 50s through the turn of the 70s.
So you had this ideal venue in terms of it was all in one area. You had the whole aura of the place being as if the older people wouldn't want to go there. It was a club type feeling where the younger people could get together and identify in their own world and have their own entertainment.
It was quite a key venue, I suppose. I mean,
I'd rather like the Marquee Club, really.
Yeah, I mean, if you was a local band, you wanted to play the Caves.
Yeah,
you
wanted to play, play the Marquee Club, yeah, because you'd arrived once you'd played the Marquee Club.
Even if you hadn't.
Yeah.
It probably played a bigger part than anybody would ever know for the entertainment around there. And that's why you had big bands going there.
It was good fun. It was really good fun. I remember that.